Today, we bring you some fantastic highlights from this week's episode. To hear the show in its entirety, visit the listening archive at fromthetop.org. What's the connection between the Spanish composer Enrique Granados, the wisdom of Taoist philosophy, and life in Texas? The answer is Tyler Rhodes, the young guitarist on today's show, a great American teenager with an original worldview. From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the energy of America's kids and the power of classical music. We're at the Center for the Performing Arts in Carmel, Indiana, where we'll also hear a 15-year-old cellist perform one of Chopin's teenage compositions. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory, where outstanding young artists and inspirational teachers are transforming classical music. Here's our host, the great concert pianist, Christopher O'Reilly.
Thank you. Welcome, everybody, and thanks to the Center for the Performing Arts for bringing us to Carmel, Indiana, just north of Indianapolis. We're in the Palladium, the largest of three brand new theaters here at the center. Inside, it's a very impressive-looking house with European-style boxes and fantastic acoustics. Outside, the Palladium is a beautiful Renaissance-inspired building with touches of a Palladio dome and limestone facades and columns. But the most remarkable thing about this art center is that it was built by a city government, not a private nonprofit, and it demonstrates a real commitment to the future of the arts in this region. Today, we're going to honor that commitment by presenting kids totally committed to the arts themselves. Appropriately, we'll begin with a Hoosier from Bloomington, Indiana. Please welcome 11-year-old violinist Nathan Meltzer. Welcome, Nathan. If you'll pardon me saying so, that looks like a more than usually distinguished-looking violin you're holding in your hands, yes?
Yeah. This is a Guarneri del Gesu, made in 1735, which makes it even older than my dad. The Stradivarius Society in Chicago loaned this to me for a few weeks, and it is totally awesome.
Yeah, really great. I'm looking forward to hearing this instrument and you playing on it, more importantly. You brought an unusual piece to play. Tell everyone what it is.
We're going to be playing a piece called Harikati by Jenő Hubay.
Jenő Hubay was a Hungarian violinist and composer in the late 19th and early 20th century. Nathan, when you're ready, we'll take it from the top.
Thank you.
11-year-old Nathan Meltzer, our violinist from Bloomington, Indiana, playing Yeno Hubai Hezrakati. Well, Nathan, that was just captivating. And you seem to have a real sort of stylistic connection to this music. And, you know, somebody would say, oh, you must have gypsy in your blood. But you do sort of have gypsy in your blood, don't you?
Yeah. I lived in Vienna, Austria for 6 years, and when I lived there, I lived right across the street from a wine garden. So every night, I'd eat dinner listening to this Hungarian fiddle player, and so, Hungarian, so.
That's right. So you heard the gypsy firsthand.
Yeah.
So how come an 11-year-old American kid gets to live in Vienna for a couple of years?
Before I was born, my family lived in Japan, and so when I was born, they must have decided it was time for Europe, since they had lived in Asia. So and my dad also liked living abroad, and he wanted to give me and my brothers some culture.
That would be the place to do it, right?
Yeah.
There in Vienna. I mean, I understand it was in Vienna that you started playing the violin, but for a very sort of odd reason.
Yeah, there was a great string program in my school for second graders where everybody was offered a string instrument and encouraged to play it. So my parents wanted me to play the cello, but I didn't want to, thinking of all the stairs that led up to our apartment, so I chose the violin.
Very forward-thinking for a second grader, I think, there, Nathan. Nice going. I think it ended up well. So what brought you back to the U.S., and in particular to Bloomington, Indiana?
My dad brought me to a lot of concerts when I was in Vienna, and one of which being that of Josh Bell's. And we really liked him, so my mom did a background check on him and found that he was from Bloomington, Indiana, and that his first teacher was Mimi Zweig. So my mom emailed her, showing her some of my YouTube links, not expecting anything in reply, but we heard right back, and so we checked out the Indiana University string program, and thought it was perfect.
You do have, you know, probably as many hits on your YouTube links as Josh Bell has on his. You know, you've ridden right in there with the YouTube. That's good. So Mimi's doing very well by you, and you're going to complete the circle next week with this fabulous instrument in your hands. Tell everybody what you're going to be doing after you perform on this show.
I'm going to be playing for Josh Bell next week, which is very exciting. I'm going to be playing one of his signature pieces, Scherzo Tarantelle. So that's pretty nerve-wracking.
It can be a little bit, yeah, because the Wieniawski, as you say, is one of his signature pieces. And I'm sure he'll have a few things to show you, but you're not nervous about it. I mean, you can hold your own for Josh Bell, absolutely. I'm telling you, man, you're right up there. We love you, Nathan. It's gorgeous playing, man. So have a great time with this instrument and whatever instrument you end up with. And really great having you on the show. Thanks for leading us off. Nathan Meltzer, 11-year-old violinist from Bloomington, Indiana.
Did you catch Nathan's age? He's just 11, and he's already such an impressive violinist. You can see Flipcam video of his performance at fromthetop.org. From the Top is made possible in part by the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, advancing the education of students of exceptional promise who have financial need. On the web at jkcf.org.
My name is Tyler Rhodes. I'm an 18-year-old guitarist. And although I'm born in Texas and I lived there for a long time, Eastern culture and Taoism play a huge role in my life. I have been interested in Japanese culture for a while, and so have my friends. I mean, we think it's awesome. So we were just driving one day, and we saw this Aikido dojo, and we're like, dude, let's totally check that out. So we just went in and hopped in the first lesson, and it was great. And we fell in love with the martial art because, you know, it wasn't about attacking the opponent and hurting the opponent and using force. It's about receiving and protecting you and the opponent at the same time. Eastern thinking has actually become a part of my performing because one of the major philosophies about, the ego is that you're not playing for yourself and it's not about you. It's about the music that you're creating and you're not creating it for yourself. So I think Eastern thinking has a part of that too. And I what's funny is I also call my teacher sensei, which is Japanese for teacher. And he didn't like it at first, but he just kind of got used to it. And now like a ton of students call him that. It's pretty funny. So sensei. Once I was sitting outside in the gazebo thinking, and I realized that my music was missing something important. It was emotionless, completely. I closed my eyes and imagined what I could change. So I started to imagine my playing was like a breath or a heartbeat. And I also imagined playing a song and having it turn into a storm in my head. And then I actually noticed that a real storm was forming. It was almost like I created the storm with my mind and it was conforming to the piece of music, almost like dancing with it. It was very dreamlike. Taoism, which is actually the philosophy that accompanies Aikido, which is pretty much based off of, has taught me that you shouldn't get involved with yourself or your ego, but you should just accept the natural flow of things. There have been some difficult times in my family that I have had to accept. And I don't see my mom at all. And my dad and my brother have been in jail. And drugs are definitely involved. So I've kind of been raised by my grandparents. And my grandmother recently died, so I live with my grandpa. And we're really close.
Tyler is a wonderful grandchild. He's like a son to me.
My grandpa is probably my best role model. I mean, he's accepting of everyone and everything, and he's a very selfless person, so he will go out of his way to help anybody. And that's the way I want to be. I kind of want to live accepting things and people as they are, and things the way they are.
This is Tyler Rhodes performing the Spanish dance in E minor, Opus 37, number 5, Andaluza, by Enrique Granados. Tyler Rhodes, 18-year-old guitarist from Austin, Texas, playing Enrique Granados' Spanish dance in E minor, Andaluza. Tyler, that was extraordinary. I mean, I know your Taoist philosophy tells you to try and go with the flow of life, but here you are so emotionally connected to this music that you're really creating the flow, and indeed, I'm sure, changing the air molecules around us and creating your perfect storm there. That was really extraordinary.
Thank you. Really nice.
I'm pleased to tell everyone in our audience, Tyler, that you've been chosen as one of our Jack Kent Cook Young Artists. Any ideas about how you might use that money?
I'm planning to travel to Europe this summer with the money and study with some top guitar teachers from Bordeaux, France, and Vercelli, Italy. So that's what I'm planning.
Nice travel destinations, too, as well as, I'm sure, great teaching. Now, you're done with high school this spring. What are your plans for next year?
Well, I'm definitely going to go to college, and I'm interested in performance, so I'm going to be a performance major. And I'm still negotiating between schools, but my top choice is UT Austin right now. So.
Well, I hate to say this. You know, kids should always leave town to go to college, but I can't think of a better place to go. Austin. All right, keep Austin crazy for us there.
Yes,
right, Tyler?
No problem.
Thanks for being with us. Tyler Rhodes, 18 years old, our guitarist from Austin, Texas. Some cello music next, and the 15-year-old young woman on stage with me is here to play it. Her name is Sydney Lee, and she's from Oakland, New Jersey. Sydney, while I head back to the piano, why don't you tell everyone what we're going to be playing together?
We will be playing the Chopin Polonaise Brillante.
Thank you.
Sidney Lee, 15 years old, our cellist from Oakland, New Jersey, playing the introduction on Polonaise Brillante by Frédéric Chopin. Well, Sidney, I personally think Chopin wrote his best music for the cello, and you certainly made a great case for this piece.
Thank you.
Really lovely to hear you play that. You indeed were really sort of born playing the cello. Your whole family of cello players. Tell everybody.
Oh, yeah. My brother is a cellist, and my mom's a cellist as well. And actually, she used to teach me a lot, but now that I've gotten older and we're both very opinionated, so we get into a lot of arguments.
Did she, your brother Noah was the one who was on, he's been on the show once. Did your mom teach him as well, or is he easier to get along with, or what's the story?
Well, he's younger, so I guess he's a lot easier to manage.
Are you a handful? You're close with your mom, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, she's the world to me, and I love her a lot. Even though we get into arguments, I mean, she's the best mom, so.
Yeah, you've bonded with her, I know, recently as well. I want to talk to you about church, because I know that church is a big, big part of your life. What church do you go to?
I go to Cornerstone Church. It's a United Methodist church in Englewood, New Jersey.
I guess recently it became even more important to your life.
Yeah, as a young kid, I just went to church for like routinely, like Sundays, and just went there to worship and hang out with my friends and then come back home and do my stuff. But I did confirmation, and that really changed my whole perspective on faith. And I went to retreats, and we did fundraisers and charity concerts. And I also played the cello at my church, so that changed a lot.
Different experience entirely, yeah. I understand you write your own devotions. These are reflections on various passages of Scripture, right?
Yes. Every night I read a passage from the Bible, and I write a summary of what I thought about it and my interpretation of it and...
It's such an important part of your 15-year-old life that we asked you to read one of your devotions. Would you do us the honor?
Sure. This devotion was from Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Dear God, I am full of so many imperfections, yet I know that you created me in your perfect image, as it states in this verse. I know that I am perfect in your eyes. I can feel good about who I am because I know you love me so much. Help me not to be influenced by outside opinions and be grateful for everything I have. Thank you for so many blessings you have bestowed upon me. I trust that you will mold me into the beautiful woman of God that you have created me to be.
Well, Sidney, you are certainly full of perfection in our ears. And it was really a blessing to hear
you.
And thank you for being with us. Sidney Lee, 15 years old, our cellist from Oakland, New Jersey.
Have you ever heard From the Top and wondered what it would be like to see it live? Well, this fall we'll be taping our show in Troy, New York, Davis, California, Sarasota, Florida, and we may be coming to a town near you. Check out our taping schedule at fromthetop.org and hope to see you at the show.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from U.S. Trust, believing that the arts have a worth all their own in stimulating the hearts and imaginations of our country's best young musicians. From the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, recognizing exceptionally creative individuals. This year's MacArthur Fellows are at macfound.org. And from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age. This is NPR.
Thank you.
From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the energy of America's kids and the power of classical music. This week, we're coming to you from the Palladium at the Center for the Performing Arts in Carmel, Indiana. Coming up, a 13-year-old pianist plays Debussy. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory, where outstanding young artists and inspirational teachers are transforming classical music. Today's show is made possible with support from the National Bank of Indianapolis and St. Vincent Health. Special thanks to WFYI. Here again is Christopher O'Reilly.
Thanks, Joanne. As our regular listeners know, we like to celebrate innovators in the field of music education. And today, we want to do a shout out to someone sitting here in our Indiana audience. This outstanding music educator grew up as a pretty tough, headstrong kid in Fort Apache in the Bronx, where a teacher changed her life by telling her to join a youth orchestra and refusing to take no for an answer. Now, she runs her own youth orchestra here in Indianapolis, the Metropolitan Youth Orchestra. But this organization does far more than teach music. It uses music to empower urban kids. Now, under the auspices of the Indianapolis Symphony, the program supports the whole family, having parents learn alongside their children, and it focuses on success in school and in all aspects of life. Please welcome Betty Perry. Betty, I can sort of tell from that welcome you brought a few of your students. Are any MYO kids in the house? Very good to have you. Betty, you describe a little person who helps to guide you as a teacher. Talk about who that little person is.
Well, that little person was the little person that I used to be and the little person that I still am. So I began to visit this little person on a journey as far back as I can remember from the age of three. And the little person had a zeal for life. She looked forward to a bright and prosperous future, even though she grew up and she didn't have much. And the other thing that I learned about myself as this little person, that life is fun. So as I was developing this type of program, starting in 1981, I started to visit that little person more and more because now I was working with very young children in preschool. And now I'm at that point where the environment that I've created for MYO, no matter what the level is, you know, our preschoolers up to our high school students, I always visit the little person so that when I'm teaching them, I have a different type of connection with them. It's not just the teacher to student, but it is young person to young person.
It's a beloved program, and you can learn more about it at fromthetop.org.
Over the last 5 years, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation have awarded well over $1 million in scholarships to talented young musicians who have financial need. We still have more to give. Go to fromthetop.org to learn more. Chris.
There's a competition in Montgomery, Alabama that a lot of From the Top kids participate in. First, there's the cash, $10,000 for first place. Then there's the fact that the winner gets to perform an entire concerto with the Montgomery Symphony and come on our show. But the really unusual thing about this competition is that it's open to all instrumentalists, so a pianist competes against a violinist and cellist against trombonists, what have you. Like this young pianist, please welcome the 13-year-old winner of this year's Blunt Slauson competition, Evelyn Moe. Evelyn, congratulations. What was it like to win the Blunt Slauson competition?
I was really shocked and surprised because everyone sounded so polished and amazing.
Well, I shouldn't be too shocked. I know you're a really polished player. I'm sure you wowed them. What concerto are you going to play with the Montgomery Symphony?
Chopin's full first concerto.
Oh, big piece. Fantastic. Have you played with full orchestra before?
Yeah, last week I played Lalo's Symphony Espanol on violin with the full orchestra.
So you play piano and violin at concerto level?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, so now try and make us feel a little better about ourselves, Evelyn, okay? Take you down a peg. Let's talk about junk food.
Oh, yeah. I love all kinds of junk food, like fast food, candy, chips, cake, cookies, ice cream, goldfish, donuts, pretzels. They all have, like, their own special qualities.
Junk food is nothing to sneeze at. Junk food actually helped you start the piano, right?
Oh, yeah. When I was 3, my mom took me to my first piano lesson. I met my teacher, and she took me to a small room and closed the door on my mom. So it was kind of scary, and I started crying. And I didn't really pay attention to what she was saying until she gave me 2 Starbursts. And after that, I started listening, and I figured out how cool piano was.
Absolutely. They can't get me in to rehearse unless there's 2 Reese's peanut butter cups on the piano. I just will not do it otherwise. We're so happy, Evelyn, that there was some candy around and you stuck with the piano because you're going to play one of the most evocative pieces of piano music ever written, L'Île Joyeuse by Debussy. So we'll let you get set at the piano. Great way to end our show today. But before Evelyn begins, I want to thank all of our great young performers today and thank you all for joining us and listening. This is Christopher O'Reilly. Please join me next week. And now, Evelyn, you can take it from the top.
Thank you.
From the Top is written and produced by Tom Bagley and Tim Banker, with music producer Tom Denieri. The tour producer is David Balsam, and the production manager is Elizabeth DeVore. Technical direction by Barrett Willett, with David Forbes and John Servies. Post-production by Tom Bagley. The executive producers are Gerald Slavin and Jennifer Hurley-Wales. I'm Joanne Robinson. From the Top is an independent nonprofit organization based in Boston. Our founding partners are New England Conservatory and WGBH Boston. To download an application to appear in our program, visit fromthetop.org.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from the George Lucas Educational Foundation, creator of Edutopia, a source for what works in education. Learn more at edutopia.org. From the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people, online at wtgrantfoundation.org. And from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live healthy, productive lives, at gatesfoundation.org. This is NPR.
If you enjoyed this week's podcast, please consider making a gift to keep us broadcasting loud and clear. Go to fromthetop.org/support.